It's very blurry, and he's approaching the camera, and the next page is a photo of some hands with band-aids on them over a sink. This was an unfortunate incident that occurred to me when my cat approached me and decided to choose violence as usual, as he does every other day. And this was the aftermath. But this is how he shows love, you know? He can't help but be sharp.
Yeah.
I love my cat.
Yeah.
Huge.
He's so cute.
There's not much to deeply analyze in this one.
Dude, it's just love.
You gotta see it, though.
Yeah.
It's fabulous.
Yeah. Wait, I just realized before, I'm also just gonna play an ad, so we're, like, really ahead of our stuff.
Fabulous.
Like, really beautifully organized.
Wonderful.
Wait, actually, maybe you could read while I find what one I want to do.
Awesome. I will read Bus Poem 1, I suppose. This is Ode to 180 Lougheed Station. My fair weather friend, I owe you my world. Please keep it coming. Let my head beat against the yellowed window as long as it takes for me to see clearly again, and let me run from whatever it is I will see then. Take flight, black box, and take me with you. I owe you my world. Please keep coming. Yeah, and I could go for the other one or whatever.
I'll play the ad, and then we're going to talk about...
Beer and joint.
Oh,
here's the keys, joint.
No, I'm not driving. I'm way too stoned. How are you feeling, beer?
Oh, since we had that talk, I'm not driving tonight at all.
What about you, Dave?
You only had a couple of drinks.
And only a couple of puffs.
I don't drink and drive. No way I'm getting behind the wheel when I smoked weed, too.
How are we getting home, then?
Come on, Dave. Take one for the team.
Don't let weed and alcohol influence your decision to drive.
Yeah, I need a ride.
A message from Mad Canada.
All right, we got a little advertisement so we can be a radio show.
I like that
show.
A lot.
I really
little
like
accents. I love Canadian accent.
Mm-hmm.
So funny.
Okay, so we just read the
Ode 180 to Lougheed Station. Sorry, Ode to 180 Lougheed Station.
Yes.
I can't speak. Yeah, this is my bus that I take to Berquitlam Station all the time. I love the 180. We used to have a problematic relationship, and now I've come to forgive her. The 180 is always late, and you know what? That's okay. And that's just a reality of life. And I don't feel anger towards it anymore, because I get to go anywhere on the bus, you know? I'm on the bus all the time, and I find it comforting now. It's like my second home.
Yeah, no, that
it's
was
raining
actually...
on the bus. Boom.
Yeah, exactly. And there's so much you get to do on the bus. Like, that was one of my questions for you, is, like, what's something that people who drive everywhere, like, wouldn't realize they're missing out on by not going on the bus?
You can completely zone out when you're listening to your music on the bus, and you can't when you're driving. I can close my eyes and freaking nap and listen to my tunes and my podcasts and stuff. And when you're driving, you gotta,
be alert or whatever.
Yeah.
And think about other cars and road hazards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like just dissociating on the bus as soon as I enter it. It's my little escapism. Yeah. A lot of people in my poetry class really resonated with this about, like, transit escapism.
Right? And
it's
also
a very unique experience.
Yeah, and I feel like it's, like, the only time where you really don't feel pressure to be productive.
Right?
Because you're just moving.
Nobody's
doing
work on the bus.
Yeah.
Some people try. God, no, never.
But
never.
It's like you get dizzy, motion sick.
No,
it's awful.
You're just on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like that. That's the most real liminal space that I think you can experience.
Yeah, seriously.
You're between home and destination. You know, it's fabulous.
Yeah, and I loved him. Wait, is this the one with the part where it's about, like, you, like, banging your head against the window?
Yes.
Like, waiting to see clearly again.
Yes.
But then when you see it, you don't want to see it. Like,
yeah. Yeah, this was a little bit of, well... I'm trying to remember what I was actually thinking about when I wrote this. Yeah, I think it's very much, I need to clear my head, I'm on the bus, I'm up, you know, open window, whatever. You gotta be immersed in this, okay? Close your eyes and imagine you're on a bus, it's raining outside, the window's a little bit open, you're leaning on the window, and you hit your head on the window, boom, you're awake, you're in a new world now. And let me run from whatever it is I will see then. It was just, continued escapism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, just looking at yourself a little too much on the bus.
Oh, yeah.
It's horrifying.
That's another. I'm working on a poem about that right now, about when you're on the SkyTrain and you're looking out of the window and you're looking out into the world and you get into the tunnel between Berquitlam and Moody Station and the wall turns dark and you are forced to confront your own reflection very, very suddenly.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of... There's a feeling there that I'm trying to articulate, and it's been a couple weeks now, and I'll get there.
Yeah. Do you think you could read your next one?
Yeah. So this poem I wrote 2 years on the day before publishing this collection. I didn't publish it. Before submitting this collection. And I was just looking for a bus poem to add in here because I needed one more page. And I happened to have this that was written exactly 2 years before submitting this.
That's
and I was
crazy.
Like, that's a sign. We got to. So I wrote this when I was 16. I don't know. 17? No. It was 3 years before. Sorry. It was 2023. So I would have been, 16. The bus comes late on Sundays. That's what it's called. The bus comes late on Sundays. I wait for it below the rain. The bus is late on Sundays. I'll have to take the bus again. The bus stop fell onto the ground and never got back up. The bus stop fell without a sound, but I'll be loud with any luck. You just can't stop the falling. One rainy day, we'll all collapse. You can't unhear the calling of sunlight coming through the gaps. The bus comes late on Sundays. I'm off the bus now, in the rain. The bus is late on Sundays, and I have to go home again.
Yeah, I thought that was such a crazy poem, because it's like you read it and it's about the bus, and then you're like, wait, is this about death?
Is this about the bus?
Is it not about death?
No, this is very much about the bus.
Well, for me, it's like,
I like this. Okay, yeah, sorry, it's about death. Yeah, I like to be smart when I write poetry.
100%. For me, like, the part where you talk about, like, the bus stop falling, and, like, hopefully, when you connect it to yourself, and you're like, hopefully I'll be loud.
Yeah.
And to me, that's like, hopefully when I die, people
that
will
was,
notice.
Yeah, I was thinking about that a little bit. Just in, you know, potentially. Very subtle metaphor. No, you're right. Yeah.
It's like a little sprinkle of death.
I'll be loud with it. Yeah. It's like the whatever the tree falling.
Yeah, I was thinking of that.
Sprinkle of death.
Yeah.
Well, this is one of those. This is a pre-Leonard Cohen poem, so I was just kind of playing with rhymes. But yeah, I think I was thinking about, I hope my memory is significant enough that I will be more significant than this bus stop, because the bus stop had fallen over at this point.
Yeah, I think. Well, I've seen one fall over. I don't know if you were thinking the same one. That's like,
well, this
by
was
Seaview.
3 years ago. Yeah, by Seaview.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Aww.
Yeah, I live right there.
Yeah, no. Before it fell over, like one of my friends like lifted it out of its thing in the ground. It was so unstable.
There, a lot of them are like that. A lot of the old like bus stop poles are halfway to the grave.
Yeah, seriously. Just like us, honestly.
Hey, okay, we're going there. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, this was a lot of bus escapism as well.
Yeah. Like, how so?
Well, you know, I have to go home again. I'm off the bus now. In the rain, you know. The bus is like a little safe haven, and you don't have to confront anything on the bus. Like you were talking about. It's one of the few places where there's no expectation that you're going to be productive.
Yeah. No, sometimes, like, when I get off the bus, I'll just sit at the bus stop near my house.
Love it. Love
like,
it all the
I
time.
I can't go home yet.
Right?
Yeah.
I get off my bus near my house. There's a playground right next to it, so I'll just go and sit on the playground and just kind of look into the distance. I also get a lot of, like, songwriting inspiration on my public transit. And I think about, I get off the bus and then I record little voice memos.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That's the move.
I love that. I think now, I don't even know how much time we'll have for music, so I think we'll just save it for later.
Yeah.
But for now, we're going to do some gnome news.
Yep. Let me get ready.
So yeah, you can chill, and then I'll let you know when it's your time. Wait, can you hear the music?
No.
Oh, maybe you should put the headphones on so you
get
in the mood. Okay. This week in Gnome City, Winoma decided to start meditating. She spent hours cross-legged in the field of silent flowers, and meanwhile, Gnomely thought it would be funny to use the cover of silent flowers to steal Winoma's hat. She crept through the daffodils and deftly lifted the fluffy magenta cone from her head. But Gnomely's disguise was compromised when she screamed with surprise, "Why does your head have a portal to the skies?" Then birds! All the missing birds flew from her head. All of the birds we thought were dead. "Why did you do it?" Gnomely exclaimed. And here we have Winoma to explain.
"I'm here, and I'm ready."
"Why did you steal the birds, Winoma?"
"I promise you, my motivations were more innocent than one might suspect. I want to open a bird sanctuary, and I could not get funding to go ethically acquire birds, so I did just steal a bunch of wildlife." and I was taking them somewhere safe, I swear.
Wow, Winona. You know, God you bless your that, soul. Right? You God bless your soul, Winona.
Yeah, we need volunteers. At the Winona Bird Sanctuary.
Okay, gnomes. Come hit up Winona in the Field of Silent Flowers. Meditate.
Field of Silent Flowers, P.O. Box, and then it's some script that you can't really read out loud in English.
Yeah, so you have to come to the field.
You gotta come to the find field. The Silent Flower Field, Bird Sanctuary. Don't take my hat off, though. The birds will get off. It took me a couple days to get them back after this past incident.
Yeah, and gnomely, you need to answer for your mischief.
Sorry, man. I thought we were a mischief village. Come to the bird sanctuary. Woo!
Okay, that was really beautiful. Thank you for being Winona.
I'm thrilled.
Okay,
professional actor.
Yeah, I can tell. And I normally don't rhyme Gnome City, but
I was gonna say. But I was very surprised. I loved that.
The rhymes just started coming to me.
It's because it's a poetry episode.
It's because it's a poetry episode.
You gotta take the Douglas poetry course. Shout out Liz Baczynski. Yeah. It's such a good class.
Here, wait. I'll just play another ad so I don't forget. This is obviously my second. Well, maybe it's my first story. No, I love this one equally to the Don't Drink and Drive. This is the Ducks Unlimited one. Ooh. In honor of Winona.
Yes.
Ducks Unlimited Canada works with landowners and other conservation-minded partners to improve outcomes for communities and wildlife. Supporting vital ecosystems which contribute to water quality and quantity, soil health, support agriculture and economy, mitigate severe weather events, and provide opportunities for recreational access to nature. Together, we are unlimited. Learn more about programs and partnerships at ducks.ca.
All right. Thank you, Ducks Unlimited. We love
shout out
you.
Winona.
And shout out Winona. And Gnomely, that was so rude to steal her hat.
Scandalous.
Yeah, you never steal a gnome's hat. You never know what they're hiding under there. Exactly.
It could be Arctic terns. And how would you find them?
What?
It's a bird, the Arctic tern.
Yeah.
It's like a pure white bird and it can hide because it's white. Mm.
Oh, yeah. You can never find them. And Winona perfect protects describe. Them
Winona.
In her head. In the
conservation
sky.
Officer, dude.
Yeah.
Misunderstood.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, next we're going to go on to the pantomes. So there's three of them. And before we read them, what is a pantome?
A pantome is a type of repetitive poem that I learned about in this course. The line structure is... what are the numbers, actually? Basically, you just repeat a bunch of lines. So the first line's 1, 2, 3, 4. And then we go 2, 5, 4, 6. And then we go 5, 7, 6, 8. Mm-hmm. And so the lines keep kind of interweaving, and it's a really, really cool structure. And the last paragraph uses, like, 1 and 3 from the first stanza. Sorry, paragraph. The last stanza uses lines 1 and 3 from the first stanza as 2 and 4, so that they become 1 and 3 in the first one. It's, like, a perfect loop.
Yeah, and it becomes, like, so, like, sweet to, like, just, like, go full circle once you're at the end of it.
Yeah.
Especially, like, the stories that you wrote is, like... It feels like they need to be, like, tied up in that way.
Yeah, this one I really liked. The form and the content intersected very nicely for these ones.
Yeah, definitely. Did you, like, specific... Like, how did you decide, like, the form and the... Did you have the idea first or the form first?
Ooh. I cannot remember. I just know that we had to write a repetitive poem, and I didn't like any of the, like, standard ones that I've written before. I love Villanelles, but it wasn't working for me. And then I found this one. This is an Indonesian poetry form. So I'm really curious to hear how it sounds in... Or maybe it's Malaysian. Sorry, it's Malaysian. I'm really curious to see how it sounds in Malay. And I was like, okay, this feels very, like... I think I just came up with the first line about something I used to, you know... We'll figure that out once we read it. I think I just came up with the first line, and then I went, yeah, this feels like a good... I could loop it. And then after I wrote this first poem, the other two, I just liked the theme a lot and the, like, recurring words. And, yeah.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Okay. It's Phantom 1. My hands are chalky once again, dreamlike blue and duckling yellow. An overcoat of levity conceals my nails. I bite them far too short. Dreamlike blue and duckling yellow. My rainbow is two-toned. It bounces off my nails. I bite them far too short to keep a color for myself. My rainbow is two-toned. It bounces off and far away following the mist. To keep a color for myself, is it too conceited a dream? And far away following the mist, I'd like to skip and be refracted too. Is it too conceited to dream that somewhere the way I see things is complete? I'd like to skip and be refracted too, so that when I reach for it, that somewhere the way I see things is complete, and I alone see what I see. So when I reach for it, my hands are chalky once again, and I alone see what I see an overcoat of levity conceals. Pantome 2. Blue and yellow, they're all I get, staining the chlorinated spray, little flakes of sunlight becoming something greater still. Staining the chlorinated spray, the reaching shadow of the afternoon, becoming something greater still, settling over the polyester sea. The reaching shadow of the afternoon, it mellows out the boiling, settling over the polyester sea. The kids, they see purple too. It mellows out, the boiling, bright green plastic water slide. The kids, they see purple too, in the plastic, in the water, in the sun. Bright green plastic water slide. There's something I missed in the plastic and the water and the sun, some hidden answers in the twisting. There's something I missed, blue and yellow. They're all I get, some hidden answers in the twisting little flakes of sunlight. Pantome 3. There I am, scraping concrete blocks with wood chips. It's looking black and white from here on out. Fondness clouds my memory when the whole light spectrum painted my hands. It's looking black and white from here on out. Dusky gray, my loyal friend, my shadow. When the whole light spectrum painted my hands, I swallowed gray, lead heavy, knowing some things are forever. Dusky gray, my loyal friend, my shadow, trudging from dream to dream, hazy and blinking. I swallow, gray, lead heavy, knowing some things are forever. Thylacyanine, cadmium, horsehair. Trudging from dream to dream. Hazy and blinking, I'm bumping into them again. Thylacyanine, cadmium, horsehair, cerulean seas, and sunlight. I'm bumping into them again. And clear as the photospectrum sky, cerulean seas and sunlight, sunlight, cumulus clouds outlined in gold. And clear as the photospectrum sky, there I am, scraping concrete blocks with wood chips. Cumulus clouds outlined in gold. Fondness clouds my memory.
Gosh, thank you for reading all of them. Yay. There's so many things that, like, stuck with me so much. Like,
let's go rapid fire.
Yeah, let's do maybe, like, this, like, the final stanza of your last poem, yeah, where it's, like, your memory is clouded, but also it's, like, got that golden aspect to it. So, could you, like, talk a bit more about that?
For sure. The clouds were just some weird play. Cumulus clouds outlined in gold. The clouds are the noun in this, and it's the sun. And I don't know why it's called the silver lining when the sunlight is yellow. So, gold lining, thank you.
Well, sometimes it looks silver.
I guess. I'm too colorblind for this. That's also what these poems are about, primarily. And then fondness clouds my memory. It's the fondness that does the... That's the modified memory, basically, of it all. That you can... I know that I was a sad child, but looking back, it feels much easier to be a small child than a large one, as I am now. So, yeah, fondness clouds my memory. But this is a happy one, you know? Like, even knowing that I had the same melancholy imbued in me at a young age as I do now, it's still... I know that my childhood was good, and I developed all that I need to, and I can look back on it fondly. You know?
Mm. Yeah, and then so now that we've read the pantomimes, I've been really wanting to talk to you about, like, your sense of self and your poetry. Because I just, like, there's lots of stuff where it's, like, kind of like, if you weren't you, you'd be able to do something.
Yeah.
Or, like, just, like, the way you inherently are is, like, somehow incomplete. And, I really like... Like, the first pantomime, when you're just, like, is it too conceited to dream that, like, there's somewhere where the way I see things is complete? And then the last stanza, it's, like, it seems like you're on the way to that. And then the last stanza is, like...
I'm so glad you caught that. Because a few other people that read this didn't catch the tone shift at the end.
Yeah, and that made me so sad. I was like, oh, my God, like, I thought you were... The way you see things was going to be complete. But then, like, the overcoat of levity comes back.
Yeah.
To me, I see that as, like, kind of, like, hiding behind jokes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I remember in elementary school, I was, like, a very loud, boisterous child, even though I was already getting very sad.
Yeah.
yeah, I'm really happy that you caught that, because I wasn't sure if it would ever be clear.
Oh, yeah, no, I, like, felt deeply disappointed. But also, it's, like, it's a more real story. Like I said, like, just the honesty in your poems, like, that's a real story, you know? No one just...
Yeah, it's
you know,
not, you can't just hope for something and get it right away.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially, like, I don't think anyone ever feels complete.
No. The completeness in this was about two things. It was about, one, that I'm identified as gifted, and I have a very weird way of perceiving the world, and I'm too observant for my own good, and that I don't understand social things. And also, I'm red-green colorblind, so I literally do not, like, see the world completely. Yeah. And it, I don't know, I've been, for the last 2-ish years, I've been thinking a lot about how colorblindness is like a, obviously I'm not super, I'm a little medical marvel, I can kind of see colors, I just get color confused is what I call it, but it is very, I used to want to be a painter when I was younger, and part of the reason that I didn't want to do that anymore is because I was just so confused at the colors that I was looking at. Like, it does impact your life outside of just, oh man, I can't see colors. You get subconsciously excluded from things because I have to, you know, ask people to tell me what I'm looking at. I can never fly planes, you know, not that I wanted to at all. But
dude, that scene in Little Miss Sunshine, devastate. Did you resonate with that?
I can't. Yeah, I felt that in my core. But he's more colorblind. Okay, my dad, every time we watch that movie, or he's seen it a lot of times, I've only seen it once, he was like, you can't test the colorblindness off of 2 slides of the Sahara colorblindness test. Because he's red. Yeah, you have to do the whole thing. And also, he was just, like, reading it in a car with bad lighting. Yeah. One time I did it, my friend sent me the colorblindness test over a TikTok, and I got everything wrong. And I was like, I know I'm not that colorblind. Mm-hmm. And then I did it again with a more official one, and I got half as much wrong. So,
well, take that.
Do the official Sahara colorblindness test.
Yeah, this is, like, colorblindness awareness moment.
Hashtag awareness. Well, my dad's also, my dad's, like, completely red-green colorblind. There's nothing in his life will ever be clear. Mm. Yeah, these, sorry, back to the poetry that we're discussing.
Yeah, sorry, just a little,
Yeah, I definitely think, I really hope to digitize these, and I would recommend reading the Pantones again, knowing that I can't see colors, because I think blue and yellow are the, I literally, when I look at rainbows, I can only see blue and yellow, that's all I get, so that was a very literal thing.
Yeah, I also wanted to ask you, the children see purple too?
Yeah, purple is like my worst color, I don't get it ever.
Oh.
There's very few shades of purple that are purple to me, they're usually blue, or like red. I get very confused by purple.
So why is it like specifically like the kids, they see purple?
Because I remember being a child and just feeling very different from everybody. Like I was a very, I think a lot, this might sound terrible and elitist, but I get the feeling that I spend a lot more time thinking than other people do.
No,
if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I relate to that.
I'd be contemplating everything anyone has ever said to me.
Yeah.
Like nonstop.
And it kind of makes things awkward.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very difficult, especially when you meet other people. Like, again, the friends that I've curated in my life, I'm friends with them because we can actually relate and resonate and because they like to use their minds. But a lot of people that I meet, I just don't understand what they're living for. If you aren't invested in anything, if you aren't considering, if you aren't contemplating anything ever, if you just go about your day and nothing has any consequences to you, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
Like, we're here to think. We're here to feel, you know? And yeah, I guess this was about feeling very, very apart from other children. Especially in middle school, I was very isolated. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the second one was. The third one, I hoped that it would start sad and kind of end more hopeful. I think that vibe is there.
Yeah, it felt like I said, like a very honest kind of hopefulness where there is some like pain and discomfort, but it's ultimately like you're able to, like, it's kind of like how I introduced you, where it's like you're looking at yourself, like you're looking at the ocean, and you're just, you get to enjoy it.
I like to think of myself as like an item in nature, you know?
100%.
That helps me be less sad about anything that I disagree with about myself, because it's like you can't control a lot of natural phenomena. Things just happen.
Yeah, and
we
gotta
go with it.
Like, we are natural phenomena.
We literally are.
And we're amazing.
Yay!
Oh my gosh, the song I wanted to play isn't even showing up on our little DJ world. We'll just play it on Spotify, and the lovely Connor who comes in afterwards will just have to pause it so that it doesn't go on forever. Oh, you know what? I can play it on Plex.
Oh, there you go.
We hate Spotify. Can that be my closing remarks?
Oh, yeah.
Get off of Spotify Premium right now. Like, right now. They're launching a new feature where you can press remix and remix other people's music with AI and potentially publish it. That's what's not clear yet. You can maybe publish your AI remixes of other people's music. So get on Tidal, get on Quillbuzz, get on Deezer, get on YouTube Music. I know they all have silly little names. I'm on Tidal Premium, and I love it. They just did a really functional update. Like, even YouTube Music promotes AI less than Spotify. Get off of Spotify, dog.
Yeah.
If you have any love in your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm on my CD player right now.
Analog. I love my vinyls.
Yeah, and I just, like, live in silence in the world. And I feel like when you go into the world without your headphones on, magical things happen.
I get that.
Yeah.
I wish I had more time. I've talked to a bunch of strangers, and that's kind of tangentially relevant to this. But, yeah, especially in middle school, I would go to Rocky Point and just, like, speak to strangers. Because when you don't have headphones on, you can meet people and learn things, and it's so fabulous.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And it just makes the day feel worth it more.
I got a free Tara bun from an ancient Chinese woman. She just, like, gave me some bread.
Amazing.
You gotta know, man.
Shout out.
Shout out. For the elderly Chinese ladies at Old Orchard Park in 2020.
Mm-hmm. For real. And you can go out there and be that lady. Bring your
things. One day, I will. Getting my busking license. I'm gonna go talk to strangers at Rocky Point at 7 p.m.
Oh, my God. Well, come to Rocky Point.
Yeah.
Just every day you might catch Michelle.
Oh, yeah. I gotta plug my music account at Missy Hell Tune on Instagram. M-C-I-H-E-L tunes.
Okay, I'll put it on my story as well. I just made the Gnome City Instagram account.
I'll be your marketing. What is it? Gnome City?
It's just like, it's my Gnome City because Gnome City was taken.
My Gnome City on Instagram. Yeah. M-Y-G-N-O-N. Wait. Gnome City!
After this is Connor on Department Uno, one of my favorite shows. You get to learn so much about music in the world. And right now I'm playing Mantis to play us out by Courtney Barnett. I love her so much. She did an album with Kurt Vile and it's amazing. Oh. It's called Bark Your Head Off Dog. It's really good. And she just came out with a new album, record label called Mom and Pop, which is really funny because it's like pop as in pop music. Or maybe that's just what I think. But anyways, enjoy Courtney and thank you for listening to Gnome City.
Thanks, guys.
Feel